chapter 2, Luke chapter number 2, and this is a special day for us as Christians around the world are celebrating the birth of our Savior today, and it means a lot to us. And you know, one of the things that I love about Christmas and times like this is, if it wasn't for times like this, how often would we talk about the birth of Christ or bring these things up? And it's just a good time for us to be able to do that. And so let's look in chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 today, and beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with them with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray together today. Father, we bow our heads to you today. And God, we join with Christians around the world as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for that greatest of gifts. Lord, that you came and made a way for mankind to be connected to God and for God to be connected with us. And God, through Jesus Christ today and his righteousness, we come and pray and worship. And God, we want to make much of Jesus today, and we want you to magnify yourself among us. And God, I pray that you would use our service today and your word, Lord, to spark a fire within our hearts to go and serve you and live a life that would be pleasing to you and impact others around us. God, we love you and praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today I want to focus in on these shepherds out in the field. And here they are on the night of the birth of Christ, one of the greatest days the world has ever known, a day that changed the course of human history, and they were oblivious to it until God made it known unto them. And I want you to know today that God is alive and well, and he's doing countless billions of things, and we're oblivious to most of those things. We're not aware of all that God is doing, but he's still doing it. He's still working. He's still active, and he's doing thousands of things in your life that you're probably not aware of as well. And when I think about these shepherds, I think of a few things. Look at what it said in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The first thing I think about today is that these shepherds were just common people doing a common thing. Now today, when you ride home or you pass by, we're not going to find any shepherds keeping the flocks out in the field around here. It's not a common thing in our day and time and in our culture. But one thing that I do see as I look out amongst us is a bunch of common folks that do regular, ordinary things. And the good news today is that God came to make himself known to ordinary people that live ordinary lives, that do common things. That's who God came to on that night, to let them know that Jesus Christ was born. He didn't go to the kings. He didn't go to the priests. He went out in a field to some regular folks doing a regular thing and wanted them to know that tonight the Savior of the world, the King of the universe, has become a man and he lives on the earth. And the other thing I think about when I think about those shepherds is that God found them. And I want you to know that God is always the one who finds us. I know we like to say sometimes that I found God or all these things. I want you, hey, God is always going to be the one who is the initiator in your relationship with him. He's going to be the one who comes and seeks you. He's going to be the one who comes to find you. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that does good. And if me and you were left to ourselves, we would never come to God. We'd never think about him. We'd never worry about him. But God comes to all of us. And he does it in some supernatural spiritual ways. That's how he came to these shepherds that night. The angel of the Lord appears unto them. In a little while, we'll see about this angelic host that they see singing in the heavens. And God comes in these ways that I can't explain, and I can't understand them, but he comes in spiritual ways. And I think about today and this next week, and how the whole world is going to stop and celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, I understand, and we're going to talk about it here in a little while, that we can be cynical, and we can be skeptical, and we can be negative. And I understand that commercialism has brought in a lot to Christmas. I get all that. But somewhere in the world, somebody's going to be thinking, who is this Jesus that the world is celebrating? They're going to wonder about the reality of Jesus Christ. They're going to wonder about the virgin birth, and they're going to say, did it really happen? Is Jesus really who he said he was? Is Jesus really the one who all these people are celebrating? And I want you to know that that's not just a passing thought. That is God enticing and drawing people unto himself. There's not a one of us here today probably that hadn't thought, I wonder where we all came from. You know what I thought the other day? I saw a picture of Saturn. Y'all know that's a planet. I also saw a picture of Pluto. They kicked Pluto out of the planets for some reason. I still think it's, I don't know why, but hey, let's let Pluto still be a planet, okay? But it's out. You know what I wondered the other day? I wonder why God even created Saturn. Like, what's the point? I don't understand it. But you know what? Those passing thoughts are not just random thoughts. You might say that one was a random thought, but I don't know. But I think that it's God saying, find out more about me. Come and look. Hey, you're looking, you're wondering, you're questioning, and that's good. And come and find out more about me. God uses all that. He uses services like this and churches and Christians and people, and he uses all these things to make himself known to common, ordinary, regular folks like me and you. He comes and he looks for us. He finds us first. He loved us first. He serves us first. It always begins with him. And it says in verse 9 that they were sore afraid. And I want you to know, too, that when God comes looking for you and he begins to stir in your heart and he begins to seek you, that it is a fearful thing. And if you are reluctant to pursue God, join the club, because you're not the only one who's ever been reluctant to pursue God. And the reason why, hey, there's some people that I know today are not here today and haven't been here for the last few weeks. Some people I know. And you know why they haven't come? It isn't because God's not dealing with them, because he surely is. I've spoke to them. But they haven't showed up because they fear some things. They fear that if they come to church, there's going to be some new expectations for their life. That maybe now they'll have to live a different way. Maybe God will expect some things of them. There are some people that aren't coming because they fear, hey, how about this, that they're going to mess it up. Do y'all worry about that? I mean, that, hey, I'll mess it up. That if I start down the road with Jesus, I know that when I get down the road, I am going to mess up. I will fail, right? And you might be like me. Do y'all know what I hate and I fear? I fear failure. I don't like it. If you remember Conan O'Brien, I told him this story in a drive-up earlier. I referenced in one of my classes this year, David Letterman and Jay Leno, and no one in my class knew who they were. And that alarmed me, right? That I was like, how can you not know who David Letterman and Jay Leno are? But they didn't know who they were. Anyway, so this story fell flat on them. Maybe it won't on you. But Conan O'Brien took over for Jay Leno, The Tonight Show. And, I mean, what a big deal. You know, it was a bigger deal than it is today. But he took over. And it was a colossal failure. Conan O'Brien did not do good. You know, Letterman's still there. He didn't do good. And they basically fired him after 1 year and put Jay Leno back in The Tonight Show. And Conan O'Brien was giving a speech at Dartmouth, the commencement speech, and he said, you know, I used to would say to you graduates, do not fear failure. He said, but I have just experienced a very public and embarrassing failure in my life, and now I will tell you, avoid it at all costs, because it's horrible, right? So failure is tough. And some people don't want to start down the road with Jesus because they're like, I'm going to fail. I will mess up. And I just don't want to start. What's the point of starting? And these folks were afraid. But there's a message that was given to them. Look at what it says in verse 10. It said, and the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The message is this. Fear not. I've got good news that's going to bring great joy to everyone. And here's my message to you today. If you're here today and you feel flawed, you feel like you've got some issues, right? You've got some struggles. You've got some baggage that you are broken, that you are burdened, that you're a sinner. I got good news for you today. So is everyone else in here. And Jesus came for every single one of us that we might have hope and life in him. The same message to the shepherds in the field is the same message to you today. Do not be afraid. Listen, Jesus knows who you are. He knows that you are flawed and frail and weak and broken. That's why he came. He came so that he might save you and help you along life's way. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He doesn't expect us to be perfect in our own power. He expects us to walk with Him. And so the message today is fear not. Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. He came, the scripture says, that our joy may be full. He came as we're celebrating on this Christmas season, Jesus Christ coming. He came to connect God to man and man to God. He is that mediator today that through Jesus Christ and His righteousness, I can approach God and God approaches me. And it's an amazing thing today. And then He said this to them. He said, and this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So this sign of the virgin birth, this sign of Jesus Christ lying in that manger. And you might need a sign today. You know, I'm a skeptical guy. I doubt everything. I don't believe a lot, okay? I don't believe a lot. I can't tell you how many people bring stuff to me all the time. They're like, look at this. And I'm like, and I always say, I remember a few years ago, a guy brought me a video. It was like Barack Obama was giving a speech or something. He was going to, it's some kind of weird, crazy thing. And I said, you might want to check the authenticity of this video. And he went back and he came to me the next day and said, well, it was fake and it wasn't right. Right. So I just don't believe things. I don't. Somebody was telling me something about coronavirus the other day. I said, hey, listen, I don't really care what you're saying. I don't believe it. I said, good, bad, whatever. I just don't believe it. I just don't believe that. I'm skeptical. And so you might be here today and say, I'm looking to follow Jesus, but I'm skeptical. I think people bought a lie. I don't know that I can trust it or follow it. Well, I think that we've got overwhelming evidence, not only the miraculous virgin birth of Christ, which and the prophecies of Christ that being fulfilled are unbelievable, and the fact that human history doesn't deny the fact that Jesus Christ lived and that all the things that He did and said that happened to Him, and that we've got God's Word and we've got the nation of Israel. But hey, think about this. All of y'all and the rest of the world have stopped this time of the year to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years later around the world, and if He is not who He said He is, this would be the greatest hoax of all time. I mean, that Christians around the world are celebrating the birth of someone who and He's still impacting and changing lives 2,000 years later. I would say that's a pretty big deal and a pretty big overwhelming evidence for the case of Christ. And then it says this in verse 13. And suddenly there with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The next thing they see is this angelic host. And I like some of the things that they say. It said they were praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So this is the message. That this angelic host appears glorifying God and said this. He said, peace on earth toward men. Goodwill on earth toward men. You know what that's not? That's not doom and gloom. Do you know what I hear most every day from everybody I come in contact with? Doom and gloom. It's bad and it's getting worse. It's bad and there's no hope. We might as well quit. We might as well give up. It's over and done and all this stuff. Doom and gloom. I want you to know, I hope you're aware that the news stations now, they are entertainment stations, okay? And you know what sells? Fear. You know what sells? Doom and gloom. On the internet, they have this thing called clickbait. In other words, we baiting you up to click it. And it'll be doom and gloom. But this message that I hear from the angels is not doom and gloom. You know what they didn't say? They didn't show up that night and say, hey, doom and gloom. Hey, it's bad. It's going to get worse. See you later, angels, shepherds in the field. No, they said, Glory to God. They said, peace toward men. God wants you to have peace today. He said, I got goodwill toward you. You know when God comes down today and looks at each and every one of you, you know what he says? I want peace for you. I've got goodwill toward you. I want to bless you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. That is the message that God sends for us today. Peace and goodwill toward men. This is God's desire. Then look at verse 15. And this is where we have a decision to make. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know, we mentioned a couple weeks ago when we looked at the story of Jesus turning water into wine. And I think you could see these parallels throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but we see it again here. The angel of the Lord comes to some shepherds in a field, and an angelic host appears in the heavens, singing and praising God and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And then they left. They left them in the field. Do you know what God is going to do for us? He's going to appear. He's going to stir within you. He's going to show up. He's going to open your eyes. He's going to intrigue you. He's going to whet your appetite. He's going to say, hey, 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 hey. And then he's going to leave you. And then you got to make a decision whether or not you're going to pursue after him. You know what he didn't do? The angels didn't grab the shepherds and drag them to Bethlehem and put their face on baby Jesus to say, look at him and believe. No, they encountered them in the field. He showed up to them. He told them the message. And then he left them in the field. And guess what today? You've showed up here on Christmas Sunday to celebrate the birth of Christ. And I hope that the Holy Spirit moves on your heart and says, hey, this God loves you and he wants peace for you. And he's got a mission that he wants you to be a part of. But then guess what's going to happen? Monday's coming. And you got to decide what you're going to do. If you're going to pursue him or not. See, we love the angelic host showing up in the sky. We love the angel of the Lord. We love all that. But then they had to make a decision that they were going to saddle up and they were going to go to Bethlehem and they were going to see about this thing that the Lord had made known unto them. And what you got to do is you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to seek God in a deeper way. You know, 2020 is coming to a close. Hold your applause. I do want to tell you, though, that I remember when Y2K was going on. Y'all remember that? By the way, there's always something. There's always something. There was a thing called, for some of y'all, y'all don't remember it. Some of you weren't born, but there was a thing called Y2K. And what that thought was that at the year 2000, everything was going to shut down and no longer work. Now, it's funny looking back on it how ridiculous that was, but people were stocking their pantries with food and toilet paper, sane people, and thought that Y2K was going to happen. And I remember I was talking to my uncle one day about Y2K. This was in 1999. And he said, do you know what's going to happen when the clock strikes 12 and the year becomes 2000? And I said, what? He said, nothing's going to happen. He said, everything is just going to continue to go on. And I got a little bit of maybe bad news for you. When the clock strikes 12 at 2021... we're not going back to Wonderland, okay? We're just going to go continue on forward. But I say that to say this, we have to make a decision that I'm going to seek God in a deeper way. I'm going to take the light he's given me and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to seek him deeper in his word. I want to know him more intimately in prayer. I want to fellowship with him in service. I want to be used of him in his church. and I'm going to make a decision to pursue God. That's the decision that you have to make. You have to make this journey in faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we have to make a decision that by faith, we're going to pursue Him, and we're going to know Him, and we're going to go forward. These folks could have stayed in the field. There's a lot of people that choose to stay in the field. God says, what about this? And I'm going to move on. Well, what about, you know, hey, move on your heart and you need to take it to the next level. No. I'm just going to stay where I'm at out of whatever reason. But you got to make a choice. And here's what they did. Look in verse 17. It said, and when they had seen it, they made it known abroad, the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, the name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before it was conceived in the womb. Here's what happened. This encounter in the field and the journey to Bethlehem to meet Jesus, this encounter with God changed the shepherds' lives. And I want you to know that if we encounter God, if you meet Jesus Christ, if He becomes the Savior of your life, that it will change your life. Now, mine has been changed. That is not to mean that we don't struggle. It's not to mean that we're going to be perfect along the way. It's not to mean that we're not going to experience losses, right? I told our kids the other day, we've been blessed. Mother's Day this year is going to be 15 years. We've been here. We brought Ashlyn into church like Joel's got his baby. That's how we brought Ashlyn to church here. That's what Ashlyn looked like when we came. And we've been here our whole lives. And my kids have been here their whole life. They know one church. They have not had to move schools. They haven't had to do anything. And we've had a great ministry here. I told them the other night, I haven't, you know, no deacons have threatened to kill me. They haven't backed the U-Haul up to the parsonage and said, we're going to move you out of here. And we just haven't had, we've had a good deal. But I told them, just because I carry it well doesn't mean that ministry is not heavy. Okay, you can carry it well, still heavy. And the encounter with Jesus Christ is going to change your life, but life is still hard. And the flesh is still real. And we still battle it every day. We still are in a fight every day of our lives, right? And we carry with us, and I carry with me, scars and wounds and hurts and all these different things, but we carry it on, but it still should change your life, and it changed their life. And then they did what I'm going to challenge you to do. They told other people about Jesus. Do you know what message people need to hear today more than ever? They need to hear the message of Jesus. That there's a hope for their life. There's hope for their children and grandchildren in Jesus Christ. There's love to be found. There's forgiveness to be had. There's a mission to serve. And you need to tell other people about Jesus. Me and Russell was talking this morning about some of our plans for the future and what we want to do and going into the next year and two and five. And really, it revolves around this, that you would tell someone else about Jesus. You know, we're going to have Mission Sunday the first part of March. And we're going to have those invite cards again. We're going to just try to give it a whirl again. Who knows what will happen in 2021. You know what my challenge is to you? That you'd pick up an invite card and you'd invite somebody to church. One person. Now, I know this is simple math. I'm not a math guru. I told Allie's taking college algebra. I said, I can get you through the first 6 weeks. I took that 6 weeks 8 times. I said, so I'm really good at the first 6 weeks of college algebra. But I do know this. If all of you would bring one person with you next year, let's just do some simple math. Everybody in here just bring one person with you. We would have a seating problem very, very fast. If everybody would just bring one. Don't bring 10, don't bring 20. All of you, bring one. And we're going to have Mission Sunday the 1st of March. And what if all of us all brought one with us? What would it do? It'd be an amazing thing. Now, here's the deal. You can join my club, which is sit on the front porch and wait for the 10 people you invited to come that said they were coming and don't come, right? That's okay. But you know what we do? We keep inviting them. We keep loving them. We keep showing them the love of God. But they do not come if we do not invite them or we don't tell them about Jesus. So, tell somebody about Jesus. Said in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. The other challenge I have for you is not only to tell somebody else about Jesus this year and invite your one and bring your one, but also, instead of complaining, instead of being negative, instead of doom and gloom, how about you tell people how good God's been to you? I was telling my dad yesterday, you got to give old Ed Ogeron at LSU a lot of credit. I mean, 3 weeks ago, I thought he was going to get fired. He won the last two games, all this stuff. But he said something. I heard him, they interviewed him, and he said something yesterday that I thought we could apply to our lives today. He said, I know things were looking bad, but if you zoom out and you take a big picture, he said, I'm still the head coach of LSU. I'm still living a dream I never thought would be possible. I'm still a millionaire. And basically, I still got it really good, and we're just gonna go back to work. I think if all of us would zoom out on our life, we'd say, whoa, wait a minute. Still got it really, really good. Zoom out and take a big picture of your life, a big picture of all the good that God has given you. I saw something about the pandemic this week, and I was looking at something, and all the times throughout human history that there were civilizations that went through famines that lasted multiple years, and they'd lose like 30% and 25% of their population to starvation. I got a turkey on the greaseless fryer right now, amen. I'm not going to die of starvation day. So zoom out and just be a voice in the world that says this: God is good, and He's been good to me. And bless God and glorify Him, and let's be the light of the world, not another dark cloud that rolls through on somebody's life. And so that's the challenge. As we look at this encounter of the shepherds, God's encountering you. You got to make a decision to follow Him in a deeper way and seek Him. When you meet Him, He's going to change your life. And when He does, tell somebody else about Jesus and brag on Him, because He is good. Amen? He is good. Man, it's been good to be with you today. I hope that we will celebrate Christmas and just lift Jesus up at this time.